Genesis chapter 11. Story about the Tower of Babel. We'll see if we'll glean a few things from this tonight. Figure out why the Lord did what he did. And what the indications are here. It says in Genesis 11 verse 1. Said, and the whole earth was of one language. And of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound their language, the language of all the earth, rather. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you tonight. Lord, thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for seeing us through this thing that's been going on worldwide, Lord. Teach us your ways, Lord, and give us understanding what we need to know about it, Lord, and what we need to know about ourselves and about our country and the way we live, Lord. We pray for holiness, Lord. We pray that that folks would repent to you, Lord, and turn to Jesus Christ, Lord. As we go through this story tonight, Lord, teach us from the Word of God tonight what you'd have us to learn here, Lord, and hold me up by the power of your might, and we'll thank you and praise you. We thank you, Lord, for every house represented here tonight, and all this we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Kind of an interesting story here. They were all of one language. And it looks like it got to the point, it can get to the point for where what one won't think of, the other one will. When everybody hooks up and they all get together, you can usually look out. And that's what was going on here. One language, you know, just like Noah. Remember Noah, the God looked upon the hearts of men, and they the thoughts of the hearts of men were only evil continually. Well, here men were waxing worse and worse. One language, one goal, and the goal here was to glorify man rather than God. Glorify the creature and try to enable the creature to become equal to or to excel the Creator. There's a word in Scripture for that. It's called emulation. That is one of the signs of the last days and one of the traits of wickedness over in Galatians chapter 5. One of them was emulation. That's someone who has to be at least equal to or excel someone else. They're on a journey to excel everyone else. And here's the journey that the folks of Babel were on, was to excel God. They didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. Let us build us a tower. Go all the way to heaven with that tower. One language, one goal, and one problem. And the problem, of course, is man in his best state is altogether vanity. Bible says all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flesh flower thereof falleth away. Man is always trying to dignify mankind. always trying to validate man's brilliance, his own brilliance and preeminence over everything, including God. That's a problem in the world today. They deny the God of glory, and they're trying to build the new world order has always been on the mind of fallen man. One language, one goal, one problem, and that's the flesh. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And of course, with all those things, there's just one cure for that problem. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Man needs his heart transformed. A man needs to be renewed in the image of God. A man needs to be brought to the point where they recognize the Savior. Repent and believe the gospel. Now look back to our text here at the Tower of Babel, one language. God confounded their language and he scattered them. He said, I'm sick of this crowd all getting together. You'll find most independent Baptists, Bible-believing Baptists, aren't much on the ecumenical movement. We just don't get involved. There's just too many oddball doctrines running around out there and all that. So we just kind of, you guys do what you want to and we'll do what, like the two preachers said, well, after all, we're going to the same place and we'll just keep doing it our own way. And the other preacher said, yeah, you do it your way and we'll just keep doing it God's way. And that's kind of how it is. We hope that we're doing it God's way. So we're not much joiners. And the big movements. What was the one, Rick Warren, what did he have going on? What was that? The purpose-driven life and church and, you know, we're a Christ-driven church. Our purpose is to glorify Jesus Christ. And then we had the promise keepers. I remember the time, that's been a lot of years, but I remember the Promise Keepers. Someone put out a statistic somewhere, I remember reading it, that 70% of those attending the Promise Keepers meeting at Indianapolis, when they had a big get-together, said 70% of them watched porn at the hotels. You got to watch out for those big Christian movements. Oh, well, getting kind of quiet. Well, one language, God confounded their language. He scattered them, and since that day, man has done his very best to get everyone back together. Let's just all get together. Rodney King said, can't we all just get along? Now, ostensibly, that means for good. I mean, you'd think that they all want to get together for good, but in reality, it seems like the more folks get together, the more they want to distance themselves from the authority of the Word of God and the authority of God, and they want to create their own authority. They want to remake man in their own image. Remember after the fall, it said Adam begat sons and daughters after his likeness and after his image. And man is continually trying to do that. Get away from the image of God. Who wants to be like him? 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. See, it's a communication thing. That's what it was with Babel. They all spoke the same language. They all understood each other very well. And the hearts tended toward glorifying man and lifting up evil instead of good. And the Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. I don't remember how many times when I was a juvenile probation officer in Ripley County, I sat in my office and parents would be sitting across the table from me, across the desk from me, and they would explain that their son or their daughter was really a good, that he's really a good boy. But when he runs with the wrong crowd, If he's by himself, he never gets in trouble. But when he starts running with those boys he runs with, man, it all goes downhill. And they're right. The more folks team up, you get one kid with a little foolishness in his heart, and then you get three or four more with the same amount of foolishness, and it's compounded exponentially. Is that a good word to use there? Well, if it wouldn't be compounded, then it would, wrong grammar there, but we'll get that figured out. But that's what happens. Let's all get together. We all speak one language. And what one can't think of, what one can't imagine to do, the other one surely will. It seems like the more that men barnstorm and throw out ideas contrary, it's always going to be contrary to any authority, to the Word of God, the worse they would get. Remember Noah, Genesis 6, verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Let's think of something a little more devious to do. Look for a minute back at the Garden of Eden. An interesting thought. I've been weighing this stuff in my head the last three or four nights on my prayer walking night. It says, out of the ground, I'm in Genesis 2, 9. The story here of the Garden in Eden, of Eden and the tree that's in the midst of the garden. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now what crosses my mind there is that God, evidently with Adam and Eve when he created man, he had no intent for man to know evil. Did you get that? God never intended for us to know evil. And I don't know how many parents I've had say to me, I think he needs to be exposed to all of it so he'll know what's the right thing to do. So I think it's good to be exposed to all that stuff. No, it's not. God never intended for your children to know evil. When God created everything and looked at his creation and said, it is good. Oh, but once Eve disobeyed God, knew the difference, knew good, and not only good, but now knew evil. The more that you can keep your children away from evil, the better they're going to be. If you think you've got to expose them to everything, see what happens. My. Thought that their children need to know all about all the wickedness in the world so they would be better able to deal with it. Well, if that's true, then why did God withhold that knowledge of evil from Adam and Eve? Then, man, they were happy as larks. Called it paradise. They had it made. When TV came out, okay, let's look now. You got the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in fact, good and evil both found on the same tree. You got the Tower of Babel, communication, everybody knowing everything about everybody else. And all one language. Then television came along. Probably all of us have one. I remember read somewhere at one point years ago where in the average home in America, there's 2.5 TVs in every home or something like that. You know, those old-time preachers preached against it. I think Brother Jeremiah grew up a lot of his life without his TV in the home. Well, were they wrong to preach that? Were they? What's on the TV? The knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. And my excuse is, oh, well, I can turn it on or off, or I can change channels, do what I want to. My. That's an excuse I use. That's what I tried to rationalize. Both good and evil on the TV. Now you got the internet, social media. You know what's on social media and what's on the internet? You've got it all, good and evil. Nothing can be withheld. If you want to know about anything, you just Google it and you'll see what you'll find out about it. Both good and evil. So, well, now preacher, you're starting to meddle. All with the purpose of many, the purpose behind many is to foster one mind, one language, one goal, to glorify man and distance man from the knowledge and sovereignty of God. The most innocent situational comedy on television in this day and time, I guarantee, will have some segment that makes a Bible-believing Christian look stupid. That's their intent. They want to lift up. They want to lift up those who are for abortion, those who are for the gay rights movement. That's all they're for. And they'll have a segment on just about any TV series you want to watch to make Bible-believing Christians look silly. And it can get real subtle. It can be just right in your face. They don't care anymore. Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, watch it, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. In Romans 10:3, it says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Another place it says that man becomes willingly ignorant. Not by accident. Men become willingly ignorant. One language, one goal. One mind. For this, 2 Peter 3:5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. The creation deniers who want to force the godless philosophy of Darwin on the rest of the world are willingly ignorant of God the Creator. They've chosen to deny the Creator God. So they've got to give man glory all along. And that's why you have such a big deal about climate change and everything else, because they think man is responsible for everything. Second Timothy 3:13, the Bible says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. One language, one goal. Romans 1:25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. My. One language, one mind, one goal, one problem. The flesh. Fully set in the hearts of men to do evil. Oh, and might say there's just one cure. I hate telling all the problems without at least giving you the solution. You know what it is. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Ephesians 1, verse 11. Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. We belong to God. Now, if you'll yield to that, if you'll bow to that, to God's ownership, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. If you'll bow to that, God will bless you if you bow to that. You submit yourselves to Almighty God. John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Jesus said, without him, you can do nothing. I believe him, because I know he can't lie. So what am I? What is man? Job said, what is man that God should visit him? Take knowledge of what's that all about? We're so, I guess I could use the term, hell-bent to do things our way. Glorify the creature more than the creator. Are we in Christ? Are we doing things God's way? Now that verse earlier said there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. We're going to do it one way or another, and we're going to be led one way or another. The Lord told that crowd of Pharisees, says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Without Christ, man, you're a hopeless case. Without Christ, I'm a hopeless case. Acts 5:3, Peter with Ananias and Sapphira said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of land? Who inspired him, who filled his heart, her heart, and his heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? The devil. We think as mankind that we're in charge of our own destiny. No, you're not. You're just being led down a different path by a different God. You are of your father, the devil. Boy, man has a choice. John 6:13, the Lord said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all the truth. Wow. For thou, Psalms 31:3, for thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. The cure is that a man must be born again, and then you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, you won't fulfill all those lustly, fleshly lusts. Thou shalt guide me. David said in Psalm 73:24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. The counsel of God. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, then shalt thou have good success. You've got a guidebook. You've got a guide, and you've got a guidebook. Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, one of the other things that came to my mind the other night, if I'm mulling all this stuff back and forth, is over there in Romans 7, Paul said this. He's talking about the battle he has with the flesh, and then he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And you know what I got to thinking about? If Paul, who, from what I could see, may have been the greatest Christian that ever lived, I don't know, but he was way up there. If he said, looked at himself, and he said, "I know that within me, that is within my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." And then if he said, and he did, that, "Oh, wretched man that I am," I thought, if he is wretched, where am I? What am I? What are you? Wow. If Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am," wow. What's that make me? Wretcheder? I guess it would be more wretched. But the cure is the same. The cure was the same for Paul that it is for me. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When a mankind starts getting together and they start teaming up together, one mind, one language, one goal, one purpose, to glorify the creature more than the Creator. The only way out of that mess, when some finally come to themselves, the only way out of that mess is to trust Jesus Christ, the blood atonement of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the message. Oh, wretched man. See, we can't please God in the flesh. No man can please God in the flesh. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Remember Cain and Abel? Cain trying to impress God with everything that he'd put together. "Man, God's surely going to like this. Man, I put it together. I put all this stuff together. Boy, I can't wait to see God's face when he sees all this." Abel showed up a little bloody, a little lamb. "Say all the things that I've done. I need that blood of the lamb. If I'm ever going to be anything pleasing to God, it's going to take the blood of the lamb." That's the cure. It's a cure for you. It's a cure for me. It was a cure for Billy Graham. It's the only cure for the Pope or any high potentate. "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." I'm done. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Christ. No matter what endeavor you embark upon in this life, no matter what social projects you get involved with, no matter how many good deeds that you do or how many different civic organizations that you belong to, no matter what, without Jesus Christ, it's just a big bunch of nothing. Solomon said, "All is vanity and vexation of spirit. Man in his best state is altogether vanity." The altar's open as we sing.